Pope John Paul commented indirectly today on the pedophilia scandal that's affecting the Roman Catholic Church. In his annual pre-Easter letter, the Pope wrote that he is profoundly hurt that fellow priests have betrayed the grace of ordination in succumbing to the most grievous forms of evil. The Church is accused of covering up numerous cases in which members of the clergy are alleged to have sexually abused boys in their parishes. Many of the claims are decades old. This year, several high-profile court cases have received national attention, and the Church has paid millions of dollars in damages to plaintiffs. In the past, the Church has succeeded in fending off lawsuits through out-of-court settlements, and many say, hardball tactics. NPR's Barbara Bradley reports on how the Church has defended itself until now.
Dale Scheffler is one of the many young men who waited a little too long to tell his story. Scheffler was 13 years old and an altar boy at St. Patrick Church near St. Paul, Minnesota, when he and another boy visited Father Robert Capone's cabin for a weekend outing. Throughout the night, the priest sodomized and tried to rape the boy. Like so many other victims, Scheffler didn't think he should tell anyone.
Everybody always says, father this, father that, and it's like, you know, like everybody looks up to him, so as you're growing up, you think you're supposed to look up to him, too.
It took 13 years, years of alcoholism, drug abuse, and finally counseling, to bring the story to the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. The diocese offered him money, but he refused. He sued, and in 1996, a jury awarded him $1.1 million. The Catholic Church argued that Scheffler had waited too long to report the abuse, and the next year, the state appeals court overturned the verdict. Still, Scheffler doesn't regret turning down the settlement.
Why? Because if you look at the world out there, and you see kids out there, they could be your kids. It could be anybody's kids. And when you got people out there that are just moving people from church community to church community because they commit these acts and they shove it under the rug, when are the people going to stand up to it? When are people going to say enough is enough?
Using the statute of limitations is a tactic that has worked for the Church over and over again in Dallas, in Detroit, San Francisco, Newark, New Jersey. In Minnesota, the state legislature has tried twice now to loosen the statute of limitations for child abuse cases, including earlier this year. According to Tammy Larson at the Minnesota Coalition Against Sexual Assault, the state legislature had scheduled a hearing on the issue to accompany a bill. Then the lobbyist for the Catholic Church heard about it.
In those 2 days, after the church became aware that this bill was happening, it disappeared.
Both the hearings and the bill, Larson tried to negotiate with the priest and the lawyer representing the church. She told them it can take years for people to trace their problems, like alcohol abuse, eating disorders, suicide attempts, to something that happened as a child.
And I was talking about that reality when their attorney said that, well, when I get a broken arm in a bar fight, I'm going to know that I got a broken arm. And it's not going to take me going to therapy 20 years later to figure out that I was injured by that broken arm.
The Archdiocese declined to comment, and the attorney did not return phone calls. Patrick Schiltz, another attorney who used to represent the Catholic Church, says the analogy may be jarring, but the reasoning is not.
The statute of limitations serve a purpose in society.
Schiltz says the allegations are sometimes so old they're impossible to defend against. He recalls one case in which a person accused a Lutheran bishop of sex abuse in the early 1950s.
That Lutheran bishop was dead. His successor was dead. His successor was dead. His successor, who knew this pastor only at the very end of his career, was dead. So we were like three or four dead bishops removed from anybody who could defend the church.
Even critics say the church should be able to defend itself. But Marcy Hamilton, a church state expert at Cardozo Law School, says the church is using the same tactics that large secular institutions use when they find themselves in trouble.
And Enron's a good example here. Enron was doing things it ought not to have been doing. It was warned internally, and it kept moving forward. The church has been doing that, but unfortunately, it's been doing that over decades. And it's all catching up with it now.
But Schiltz says churches aren't the ones that choose to play hardball. It's the insurance companies that defend the churches, companies that will do anything within the bounds of the law to limit their liability.
And oftentimes that means doing things that churches should be and are ashamed of.
like hardball depositions, like going into court and making plaintiffs who have brought lawsuit under synonyms like Jane Doe reveal their identity publicly, like bring counterclaims against victims, like suing victims' parents and bringing them into court.
Like requesting confidentiality agreements, like distancing themselves from the offending priests. As the seeming throngs of alleged victims come forward, they keep running into the same problem, the statute of limitations. Now, attorney Jay Milano in Cleveland has come up with a novel approach. He's representing Joe Catula, who says he was abused from the age of 6 by the principal of his Catholic school. That was 21 years ago. Catula is bringing a case under the federal racketeering law often used against the mafia. The so-called RICO law has no statute of limitations. His lawyer, Milano, says he's not equating the church with the mafia. That's not true.
But what is true is a portion of the church that deals with child sexual abuse is an organization, it's the church, and it engages in a pattern of corrupt activity, that is covering it up, moving people, and those people that they're moving, their assets, their priests, their principals, those are the RICO actors.
Moving around pedophiles is one pattern of criminal activity, Milano says. The other is hiding evidence. And as proof, Milano obtained a tape of A. James Quinn, the auxiliary bishop of Cleveland, talking to a group of Catholic canon lawyers about how to handle sex abuse cases. The tape was made by a priest attending a 1990 meeting. It's hard to understand, but a transcript is available.
Personnel files should be carefully examined to determine their content. Now, once files have been subpoenaed, they cannot be tampered with, destroyed, or removed. That constitutes obstruction of justice and contempt of court. Prior, however, thought and study ought to be given if you think it's going to be necessary. If there's something there you really don't want people to see, you might send it off to the apostolic delegate, because they have immunity to protect something that is potentially dangerous.
The apostolic delegate is the official ambassador to the Vatican, leading attorney Jay Milano to suspect obstruction.
It's use of the diplomatic immunity. It's an interesting concept. If you're going to hide stuff, what better place to hide it? What place in the whole world will no one go and demand documents other than the Vatican?
Robert Tayek, a spokesman for the Cleveland Diocese, says this is not obstruction of justice. Under canon law, certain cases are reserved for the highest levels of the church.
And these involve what are considered to be sins that only the Holy See and the Pontiff himself can absolve. And much like the seal of confession, these matters are sent in their entirety. And under church law, these matters are not to be kept in any copied form or in any form at the local level, but the entire case is to be sent to the Vatican.
This appears to be the first racketeering case brought against the Catholic Church. There's no telling whether the judge in the case will allow this novel theory to go forward. Former defense attorney Patrick Schilt says there's no moral defense to a pattern of hiding pedophilia, but he says many people are undoubtedly making false claims. The church merely wants the freedom to test the allegations and, whenever possible, to handle the cases in-house as it deems appropriate.
Now, I don't think in that regard churches are any different than anybody else. If I hurt somebody, I'd prefer to have the freedom to decide how to make that better myself and be ordered to do it by a judge. I just think that's a natural human reaction.
Which raises the question, has the church followed that human instinct to preserve itself at the expense of its flock? Barbara Bradley, NPR News, Washington.